Thanks for listening to the Friday Live Extra from NET Radio, a weekly podcast featuring arts and humanities in Nebraska, and an online-only feature we produce in conjunction with our weekly radio show, Friday Live. I'm Genevieve Randall. This week on our podcast, we feature a sculptor who was from Bartlett, Nebraska, grew up on the Minnery Ranch near Bartlett, where his family ranched for over 100 years. He has been an illustrator, a writer, and is mainly known as a sculptor. Herb Minnery joins me by phone. Herb, it's so nice to meet you and get to chat with you over the phone.
Well, thank you, Genevieve. I appreciate the opportunity to connect with our good friends in Nebraska.
And I'll mention here, too, that you're going to be featured on our television series Nebraska Stories in Season 11 as well, so people can keep on the lookout for more about that, too.
Sure. Yeah. Well, they are very fortunate. That's very kind of them to devote a little time and effort to our cause.
So now, when you started out in your career, I'm sure growing up on a ranch, a lot of families, you know, pass that kind of thing down from one generation to the next, but you had sort of this interest in drawing. When did you know that maybe art might actually be your career?
Well, I drew, I can remember drawing ever since I was probably even in kindergarten. And, you know, wanting to fill these blank pieces of paper. And I was fortunate. My mother was very understanding about once in a while a little mark on the wall, too, you know, these blank walls. But anyway, I really don't know. It's kind of one of those things that it's kind of creeps up on you. I had always been interested in art and enjoyed drawing. And all the way through high school and so forth and college and then in the Army as well. I was an illustrator with the Army. And I've always been interested in it, but I don't know. You know, when I got out of the Army, I guess I really didn't have... I knew that I would like to be an artist, but I also had some other interests. I was involved a little bit in some interest in music and one thing or another, but realized that for the most part, most of those other goals were probably maybe unattainable at the time. So I really pretty much devoted myself to art right after the Army.
You mentioned music briefly there, and I did see on a website for Cowboy Artists of America that you might have spent some time with a country band?
Yes. Well, I sang with two or three different bands there when we were in Phoenix. But at special occasions, it wasn't really a night after night type of thing. But there was a little group of us that used to play around Bartlett, and Dale Carter, and Don Mackle, and I. And we had a little group, and then another gentleman, Johnny Sturick, and I played together a few times. And so we played in little venues right around Bartlett, some fun little things, Summerlin Ballroom and Ewing and so forth. But, you know, it was one of those things that it was, probably more of a pastime than anything.
Now, in Bartlett, there is a sculpture garden. It's on this nice big hill in front of the old courthouse building there. Do you know how many sculptures roughly are in the sculpture garden in Bartlett?
I think there's 38 right now. We just delivered six more here about 2 weeks ago, and I think the count is at 38. And there's one monument, and then for the most part, most of them are, roughly 24 to 30 inches, and they vary all the way from probably 12 to 14 inches high up to 30, 33, 30. And there's, I think, two of them that are 4 feet, 5 feet tall, but varying sizes and varying subject matter. But for the most part, the subject matter could always almost be classed as Western Americana. And in particular, it really is kind of tailored to, you know, to the culture and, the surroundings that I grew up with at Bartlett.
Yeah, and often it seems like some of your work will have a story behind it, or it'll even just be telling that story itself. I'm looking at a piece right now that's titled, It's a Cinch, It's Trouble, and there's a man on a horse. The horse is kind of reared up. Its back is arched. And it looks like maybe we're trying to rope some cattle who are at least one in the sculpture. And how do you decide to start a piece? Do you start with the story? Are there commissions sometimes? How does that work?
I guess probably with a story, possibly, or with some kind of a subject, a certain subject matter. And some of them, like you say, don't necessarily have a story behind them, but more or less action pieces and one thing and another, kind of sometimes an exercise in design, I guess you might say. That particular one was, yes, it was, and that's happened to me a couple times on the ranch where, in this case, the guy's cinch broke, the back cinch broke on the horse, and, of course, throwing the saddle forward and with the weight of the steer tied to it, it created a real issue for him. And, some of the situations have happened to me on the ranch. I've never had a cinch break, but I've had them come loose. And so some of it's from experience, and some of it's from just an experience that I'm glad I didn't have, too. So.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of those in ranching, for sure.
That's true.
One of your sculptures is located in Bancroft, Nebraska, at the Neihardt Center there, and it depicts the poet John Neihardt taking some notes during his interviews with Black Elk on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in 1931. How did you go about creating that particular sculpture, deciding how to make it?
Well, that particular piece was commissioned, of course, by the society back there, and I was very honored to have that commission because I'm a real admirer of Black Elk and, of course, of Neihardt as well. And I appreciate his connection with Wayne State College, which I'm affiliated with as well. And I'm extremely proud of that college. And John Neihardt was very closely connected to that as well. And so there was really quite a personal collection there. And Black Elk, I've always been very sympathetic and so forth to the cause of the Native Americans. And as my grandfather was as well. In fact, he was honored and given the name of Good Elk by the Sioux Nation. And he was Anglo, of course. But so there was a connection there that really, was very inspirational for me.
What was the occasion for which your grandfather was honored by the Sioux Nation?
It's a little vague at this point. Unfortunately, as a youth, I was not that interested in my history and our family history, and so I didn't get all the information, but a couple of my cousins there have a little bit more information on it, and I don't know. I can't answer the exact ceremony or occasion, but I do know that he was closely associated with them, I think, to their cause and one thing or another. And we do have some artifacts in the family that was gifted to my grandfather and grandmother. We have a picture of my grandmother in full Indian dress, and it's incredible. So, in the naivety of youth, I obviously didn't delve into it. So now everybody is pretty much passed on that could have given us any, real information on this.
I want to go back to a little bit of the beginning of your career when you were an illustrator in the Army. What kinds of things were you drawing? What was that job?
Well, for the most part, we did what they call Aloha posters. And I was in an apartment called the Training Aids. And what we did, we painted signs and one thing and another and constructed mock weapons like machine guns and so forth in wood. And we constructed them in large form so that they could be demonstrated above, in front of a large group of soldiers. And then what I did primarily was what they called the Aloha posters. They would come to me when there was a general that was retiring or or being transferred to another duty, they would come to me and give me several situations, humorous situations that happened to that particular officer, and then give me photos. They'd provide me with photos and so forth of him and his family, and I would draw cartoons, and we would construct a booklet of some kind, maybe like 20 different cartoons of that particular different situations that happened to that person, and then they would present that to either him or her, whoever was being transferred. So it was a fun game. I made the mistake of telling a young lady who was interviewing me one time, and I didn't realize how young she was, but I made the mistake of telling her that she asked me what my claim to fame was. I said, well, I was the combat illustrator that landed with the troops when we took Waikiki Beach in 1962, and it was printed word for word, and I didn't realize at the time that she was probably 18 years old and would not even remember, have any any knowledge of the history of but anyway, so jokes backfire occasionally on you, you know.
For sure. Now, you left the Army in 1963, and then I read that about 10 years later was when you got into casting bronze. I wonder what that was like for you, what inspired you to get into the bronze casting.
Well, I was a cartoonist at the time and an illustrator working for the Dutton Laneson Company in Hastings, Nebraska. And my immediate boss, Jeremy Daniels, had done a lot of sculpting in college and so forth, and was quite proficient at art himself. And he came to me several times and said, you know, I should try sculpting. And I said, well, you know, fine. So I put it off. And then one day, for my birthday in 1973, he came to me and brought me a box of clay and a little turntable and some sculpting tools and said, here, you know, try it. And so that was the immediate, that was the beginning of my sculpting career, because I tried it and realized immediately that that working in three dimension was you know, by far my best medium. And, you know, many artists are very, very adept at one or another, either a two-dimensional or three-dimensional work. And for some reason, it seems like it doesn't overlap that much. You know, it usually they're very good in one and, you know, maybe pretty good in the other, but not as good. And I was the same way. I was far better sculptor, I think, than I was in two-dimensional work. So that's where it all started, and so I thank my good friend Jeremy Daniels for for getting me off center.
Yeah, I guess so, right? Is there anything else that you wish that you would have learned, or that you would have gotten into maybe the bronze casting sooner? Anything about your career looking back?
I guess, you know, we all have, you know, not necessarily regrets or misgivings, but I think we all have, you know, sometimes things, well, I could have taken a little different path here and there. But no, I guess in general, no. I think the time was probably right. That's the way fate works, I guess. You know, I think when I look back, everything always happens for a reason at a certain time. And so I think so. I think probably I took up sculpting when I did for a reason. I think that my experience in cartooning, I'm glad that I spent as much time doing that as I did, because that has really helped me in my sculpting process as well. It's, learning how to exaggerate certain things to get a feeling or a certain movement. And so I credit my cartooning with maybe a foundation for a later career in sculpting.
Well, it's certainly worked out pretty well for you. You've won a number of awards, gotten Best in Show at many shows. I see an award from the Cowboy Artists of America, the Norris Foundation Award. And then it looks like just 3 years ago, Outstanding Alumni from Wayne State College. and your sculptures can be seen in so many places. There was a phrase I found on one site in reading about you that I just want to ask about. It described you and your work as saying, "He abhors violence and he's drawn into imperfections in the world and finds beauty there." I wonder if you could comment about that in your work.
The violent thing, you know, I do have an abhorrence to anything that's portrayed violently. And so, you know, of course, because of that, I stay away from that. But it is the imperfections in people that fascinate me so much. I see, you know, and I always compare it with climbing the side of a mountain, you know, of a mountain climber. They like to have a little piece of rock sticking out here and there that they can get a hold of. And they don't want it too smooth. And I see the same thing with my art, with the eye. I think I'm drawn more to something that is a little rough, that's got texture. And I'm always drawn to the imperfections of people, too. I think sometimes artists try to sculpt and paint the perfect person. And to me, it's very boring. Anybody that's perfect in anything is lacks interest. And so for that reason, I like the humility of people. And I think that's what draws me to the subject matter that I was raised with, is that, you know, nobody's perfect. And, you know, sometimes people are ragged clothes and one thing another. And that's what fascinates me. I'm not a good fashion follower. I love just the humility and as we say, the imperfections of people.
Can I ask what your most recent work is?
My most recent one will be, the most recent work is in the Foundry right now. It's a large monument that commissioned by the city of Vail, Colorado. And it memorializes a gentleman that was very prominent in building the city of Vail. And it features a cowboy on a horse and the gentleman standing beside that. The cowboy on the horse represents the ranchers that he worked with to purchase the land from. And so I'm very pleased with that piece. Then we will be doing probably my final monument at this point, I think, other than a small commission that I'm doing for a city in Nebraska. But this monument will be a 12-foot version of St. Michael, the Archangel.
Wow, 12 feet.
Mm-hmm, yes, quite a large piece, and it will be in the piazza of a large project that's being done here by the church and by the CSU campus here in Fort Collins, Colorado. And that will be, I'm planning on that being my final, the flagship of hopefully maybe of what I've ever done.
Oh, well, congratulations. It's on a great career. It's so amazing to talk to you about your work. And I feel like talking to you now, just hearing the calmness of your voice somehow, I feel like I can feel your personality through all of your work too, Herb.
Well, thank you. That's a compliment, Genevieve. You know, I found early on in life that, you know, it doesn't pay to be impatient. it only takes its toll on your health. So I've finally, after all these years, learned to settle down. But yes, I'm very content with what I'm doing now and my slowing down and so forth. So, and I think I've even got my blood pressure down too now.
Herb Minnery is a sculptor who currently lives in Colorado. He grew up in Nebraska. And coming in season 11 of Nebraska Stories, produced by NET Television, they'll feature a profile of him, along with his wife, Sherry, have donated a number of his works to his hometown of Bartlett. The small Nebraska village on the edge of the Sandhills now has one of the largest Western America bronze sculpture gardens in the country, and possibly the most bronze sculptures per capita of any town in the world. You can look forward to more about that on our website at netnebraska.org/Nebraska Stories. Herb Minnery, thanks so much for spending some time with me.
Thank you very much, Genevieve, for allowing me to visit with you. Thank you.
The Friday Live Extra is a weekly podcast from NET Radio. Production help from Dave Hughes. Our theme music is by Alexios Anest. You can learn more about people and groups involved in arts and humanities in Nebraska by listening to Friday Live, broadcast statewide each week on NET Radio, streaming audio and video online at netnebraska.org, and also available as a podcast. I'm Genevieve Randall. Hey, before you go, a quick word about how this podcast is produced. NET is a public radio station that relies in large part on listener support. This podcast is just part of what we do, and a donation from you in any amount helps us produce this, other podcasts, radio shows, and so much more. If you're online at netnebraska.org, you can pledge right there. Or if you're on the NET app, there's a button where you can support NET with a contribution. Thanks.